Hey friends, welcome to the Uncommon Freedom Show. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Becca, and we're your hosts, here to help you reach your potential and maximize your impact in every area that matters. Let's get started.
Hello, friends. There are a lot of opinions out there about doing it all. Is it good? Is it bad? Should we strive for that? It's an interesting debate, but what we've come to learn is that saying yes to everything means you really have time for nothing, or at least nothing important. But at the same time, we're naturally high-achieving, busy people, and it can be hard to recognize when it's time to start saying no to certain things so that we can truly say yes to others.
That's right. So trying to do everything often has the opposite effect that you had hoped for. When you say yes to everything and you spread yourself as thin as possible, most of the time things suffer. It's funny, I was just talking to my mom this week, and she was reminding me, I can't remember how she says it, but I would say I burn the candle at both ends, and she had a different way of wording it, but it was basically that I have always tried to do more things than I have time for. But anyway, most of the time things suffer, so it prevents expertise in important areas. Yikes. It leads to a lower quality of work or effort. It diminishes your original passion for the work or hobby. It can cause stress and burnout. Financial issues can occur, and lack of quality time for family. So today we're going to talk a bit about the season of life we are in, where it's been important to realize that we can't do everything, and how we're learning to say no to certain things so we can say yes to others. In fact, that reminds us of our favorite quote. Remember that quote?
We have several, but are you going to say no to the good so you can say yes to the great?
No, I was actually thinking of a different one, but that's
every
a good
yes
one.
Has to be defended by a thousand no's.
There you go. Pretty sure that one is from ding, ding, ding. The One Thing by Jay Papasan and
Gary Keller
and Papasan. Yeah, The One Thing is a great book. It talks about the domino effect, and it also talks about every yes has to be defended by a thousand no's. And it's just that reminder that, you know, we're quick to say yes to things, but is it really our best yes?
Yeah. We're in a season, obviously, where...
We're in a season. Glory. You know how, like, when you're professional, you just do whatever, no matter what? Like, I was going to go take a nap because I'm really tired.
Yeah.
And you're like, we need to do the next podcast. And I was like, in my head, there was a lot of things that I said, and none of them were like, sure, verbalize. Sounds great.
We will
can't
verbalize
wait.
Them for the podcast.
No, we won't. Not because I don't love talking on the podcast and sharing great ideas, but just because... We're going to fit this in right here and then run off to a football game. And I definitely could have used a nap, but that's okay. Burning the candle at both ends.
And you know, the amazing thing is that as exhausted as we are, I mean, we're just in a challenging season. Obviously
we are. It's not that we're not taking care of ourselves.
We've had some unexpected turns with parenting.
Yes, we have.
That have created a lot more driving for us.
Yes.
And so this is something that we've learned. Like
a lot of tedious conversations. A
couple things is that you will never cross everything off your checklist.
Yep.
If you have an eternal checklist, get used to it. I've listened to productivity experts. I'm trying to think of the book, Michael...
Hyatt.
Michael Hyatt.
Oh, man. Our two brains are as good as one brain.
Yes. Yes.
Today,
but
at least.
We're finishing each other's sentences pretty darn well.
That's what happens after 25 years. Yes.
But he talks about the fact, I believe, in the book that I read, I can't remember the title, Getting Things Done, I think is the title of the book.
We are nailing it today.
We're nailing it. He's like, you're never going to get it all done. Like, right. You just need to get used to the fact that you're never going to get it done. So what's really important to do is to eliminate some things.
Yes.
And so that you can focus on the most important. So let's talk about some areas where it's been important to say no so that we could say yes to other great things. Does anything pop to the front of your mind?
No, I was thinking I didn't have enough time to think this one through. So let's hear some of your examples.
I go back to 2012, you know, leading into the summer of 2012, mm-hmm. when we were in our crazy year of building
messy
our
season.
Business, messy season, we made a fundamental quality decision to skip summer softball. And actually, I have not played since then.
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously are now in the throes of parenting. And I've got other things that I enjoy more than that. But we made a fundamental quality decision to say no to softball so that we could focus our energy on other things. And it was one of the best decisions we've ever made.
Wasn't the most fun decision, but it was the right decision for the time.
Exactly.
We had a goal to bring you home. And, you know, we wanted two parents at home, and we wanted the life we were creating today. We had to do the work for it 12 years ago.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And then giving up certain hobbies for more important things.
You have a lot of hobbies. So let's use some of your examples.
Yes. So obviously this year has been a busy year. And as crazy as it is, believe it or not, I have said no to some things to make this year possible. And I'm so glad that I did. One of the things I have learned is that when I eliminate things from my calendar, I rarely regret it. I might miss something, but I don't regret it. So about a year ago, I resumed guitar lessons, loving it. I was really developing my skills back to probably as good as they had ever been, which isn't saying a lot.
But sounded good to me.
When I decided to work on my private pilot's license and go all in on writing the book this year, I knew that I had to take some things off my plate. So number one was I decided to discontinue guitar lessons for a season, and I'll probably resume them in 2024. And the other thing I committed to was just playing a lot less golf. I used to play close to once per week. I have not played since Father's Day, so it's been 2.5 months since I played golf.
I feel so bad for you.
No, I know you don't.
No.
But
if you had kept either of those hobbies, you might not be here to do the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
And you know what?
Because I love you, but...
It's all good.
It's all good.
I am very grateful that I took those things off my plate because I've had a lot of pressure. And then the other thing is keeping margin in your schedule. So obviously, when you run at full capacity, when unexpected things happen, for example, in parenting, which are guaranteed to happen.
Guaranteed.
You have no margin. And then you end up even more stressed. Let's talk about what happens to your brain when you're under chronic stress. Do you want to talk about that?
Am I supposed to talk about my driving record?
You're just supposed to talk about all the things that you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't had any little oopsies in quite a long time, despite what the long period of time it's taking for it to come off of our driving record.
What we know is that...
A couple years ago...
No, we don't have to talk about you. What are the effects
some people
of chronic stress
I've
on
heard
a brain?
Can be very stressed during different seasons of time when they're going through major life change. And if they're not really aware of their driving, they could run into a bush per se, or a gate, or someone else's Corvette. They could potentially drive up onto someone else's Corvette, which sounds ridiculous. I don't know how anyone could do that. But if you are super stressed, you could potentially have some of those things happen.
Those are all hypothetical possibilities. Yes.
You can forget things. You can lose things. That's very common, I think, is when you're like under stress, you can't remember where you put things.
What are some typical things that someone might be losing that would be an indicate that maybe someone is under a lot of stress?
I mean, really, could be so many things like...
Keys.
AirPods. Especially those stinking AirPods. Little AirPods. Can anyone AirPods. Else relate to this? They're tiny. When they're not in the container, you can't track them. And when you can't put them in the container, you can't charge them. Apple, come on, let's come up with a better plan here.
It's not a foolproof
This whole
concept.
Podcast is not about me, but in case anyone's wondering, these are examples we've collected from myriad of other people.
Absolutely, yes.
Yourself out on something
here.
What do you do when you're stressed?
One of the things is that when you're doing too much, the things that you enjoy can even suffer. Like this morning... I have been like, August has been a very chaotic month. Had some deadlines that I was behind on, and parenting curveballs made me get even further behind on some book deadlines. I have definitely not gotten enough sleep all month. And today when I was working out, I could tell, like, I was actually lifting less weight. And I could just tell that I was exhausted. It wasn't that I didn't have strength. It was that I didn't have the energy. And I was working out, and I was just realizing, okay, I'm feeling the effects of too much on my plate and not enough sleep. And sleep is one of those things that's easy to deprive. I mean, I would rather skip sleep than skip a workout, but it's not always the best choice.
Yeah, that's really good to know that about ourselves. And what we talk about with clients a lot is when you get your health under alignment, then it's like you're resetting your thermostat, is the way I describe it. So before I was as healthy as I am today, and you know, when I was less conscious, I didn't have the same habits, I could do things to myself as far as sleep or hydration or water. Water and hydration is the same thing. Hydration, other things like that. I wasn't aware when I was offline, or I wasn't, you know, giving my body everything it needs, because I wasn't really living with everything that it needs. But once you get into alignment and you take your health to that next level, then it's very easy to tell when things are out of alignment. So for me, again, lack of sleep, lack of hydration, my nutrition's off. I mean, I can feel the inflammation in my hands, or I feel fatigued, or I realize that I'm going into a stressful conversation with one of our kids and I'm sleep deprived. So I need to really be aware of with the words that are coming out of my mouth. So it's good to pursue health, because then your thermostat gets reset and you can be more attuned to what your body and mind really needs.
Excellent. So let's talk about the financial area and how saying no, or realizing you can't do it all or have it all, can really be a beneficial thing. Do you want to start with that?
Such a big one, I think, especially in the society we're growing up in. It seems like there's a lot of instant gratification. I remember coming across some newlyweds who were like looking at new houses that just seemed like the houses that we had been waiting a long time for. And they, I don't know if it was in their budget exactly, but it was sort of an entitlement of like, this is going to be our first home and this is what we're going to buy. And it's going to be like what everybody else has. And what we've noticed is one of the ways to financial opportunity and freedom is really to say no to things early on and have that discipline, that stewardship principle in effect, so that you can actually have, you know, the finances to do more with your money over time.
Yeah, today's young adults think that they can have in their 20s what it took their parents until they were in their 40s or 50s or 60s to have. And it's something that we're very intentional about with our kids. But just the importance of realizing you can't have it all. Or if you can, if you have it all, you're actually going to have nothing. Because what we've seen is that many people appear to have it all, but it's heavily financed. And the reality is if it's financed, you could lose it. You know, we talk about, we love Dave Ramsey's saying, you know, live like no one else so that one day you can live like no one else. Yeah. And that means maybe not having the big screen giant box TV in the 90s or 2000s that everyone else had. TV. Yeah, do you remember those big boxes? I mean, it was like, it was incredible.
I'm not sure our family ever had a big box TV. We went from like a tiny TV to like a normal
size. When we bought our house in Chandler, they were nice enough to leave one behind that was broken.
That's
so that was
that was a huge pain.
That was our, old school big screen TV. But you know, whether it's cars, you know, the type of house that you start off in, even the clothing that you have, just understanding that if you will live within your means, say no to things, so that you can say yes to the most important things, that'll make a huge difference.
Yep. Let's talk about nutrition for a minute. And so basically, you know, what are some things we've said no to as far as our health or nutrition? You know, we already talked about kind of resetting our thermostat, but obviously, unless you have the gift of metabolism, which, you know, might help you not gain weight, but is it true health? You're going to have to be conscientious and say no to things if you want to either get to a healthy weight or maintain a healthy weight.
Yeah.
Workouts, you know.
Well, we've talked a lot about associations, so there may be some friends and associations or social events that you may say no to. I think the big thing is specifically social events and even dining out is if you're really focused on your health, if you're on a specific nutrition plan to try and get to a healthy weight, you can still do social things, but a lot of times going out makes it a lot easier to compromise on your plan. Yes. And so just saying no to the social thing, invite, hey, let's come over to our house for dinner. This way you can control it. Or saying no to that unhealthy group of friends where you know either alcohol or unhealthy food or even gossip is going to be a part of what happens there is just choosing to say no to that. And the interesting thing that like I experienced is really kind of dialing in my nutrition at the beginning of the summer and being able to cut my workouts down from 90 minutes to 45 minutes. Like that was a huge thing. And what I realized is by saying no by saying no to unhealthy food, not that it was a big issue for me, but really saying yes to focused, being really disciplined with my diet, it has allowed me to get back 45 minutes of time that I've needed all summer long. Like I really did not have the capacity for 90 minute workouts. And the cool thing is my muscle mass has stayed the same. I haven't lost any, you know, any volume or anything like that. It's kind of a cool little example.
You still look like a sexy beast. So it's working out great for you. Maybe some of the moms out here could relate to saying no to attaching your identity to maybe things in the mom world, like let's say birthday parties and what those look like. Because I know for me as a mom, There are some things I can be creative in, but it's not my natural bent. I'm not naturally good at it. I hire people to decorate. I hire people to help me with things, or I order things online. And there's kind of that joke that like you can be a Pinterest mom or an Amazon mom. I'm more of the Amazon mom. In other words, I order the party kit that comes all together and I can, you know, set it up, but I'm not going to spend time cutting things out and creating things. It's just not my natural bent. But, you know, when you're in that world, especially with young kids, and you see the pictures online and there's a lot of comparison, you can really, you know, rob yourself of the ability to either do what you're naturally good at and let go of the rest, or realize how important is this. So actually what comes to mind when I'm thinking about, you know, what we can let go of or say no to is really asking ourselves how long something's going to matter. That's been a good filter for us. It's really how we've been able to be successful in multiple areas, honestly, whether it's time, relationship, finances, is saying how long into the future is this going to matter for me? And if it's going to be something long, like the relationship with my kids, then I do want to steward that really well. If it's going to be a short-term thing, like a one-day birthday party for 2 hours at the age that my kids are at, where none of the kids are going to remember what the decorations are like, and maybe some of the moms are going to say, man, that's kind of lame, but the kids are going to have a blast, it's really not worth stealing, you know, hours of my life and my mental energy. Maybe for you, it might be your budget to do something that just doesn't have long-term lasting effects. So it's just a good filter to run it through. How long into the future, 2 weeks, 2 months, 5 years from now, are the things that you're committing yourself to going to matter?
Do you want to kind of dive into why it can feel wrong to say no to things, even though it makes room to say yes to more important things, like volunteering at school, volunteering at church, or anything like that?
Yeah, I feel like it's some of it's personality driven. I think there's some people who have really strong high boundaries, high walls. You know, they say no to probably everything or most things. And then there are people who are naturally, you know, kind-hearted, servant-hearted. They want to do things based on either maybe for people's approval, or maybe they're doing it just because there's a need out there and they want to do, they want to fill the need.
People pleasers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with a good, they have good intentions.
Yeah. And I think some of it is just saying, should you always be the one to do it? If you said no, what would happen? And would someone else maybe step in who needs to? We were just talking about this because there's a long list of things that are needed for football.
Yes.
For our kids' football team. And it's a long list of volunteering and snacks and things. And, you know, my responsibility. I have a high sense of responsibility. So my side, when I look at all of the unfulfilled times, is that maybe I should step in and do more, but I already committed to three or four things and there's 50 families roughly on the sports team. And so it's like other people can step in and do at least one. If I've already done three or four, I don't need to do eight.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of finding that balance to say like, I'm committing to something if it's the right fit, but I'm also drawing a line and saying, this is where my commitment stops. I'm going to let someone else step up, or I'm going to creatively problem solve how we move past this or something like that.
So do you have any tips for someone who struggles with saying yes to everything? Like how they're asked to do something. What are some techniques or ways that you are able to say no to things without coming across like a jerk all the time?
Well, I definitely think when you don't commit to things right away, it's really helpful. If you just say like, let me check my schedule. Yep. Let me check my commitments. You and I love that word commitments. Commitment might be to you and I taking a nap. It might be to taking one of our kids out. It might be to our mental space.
It might be to going to bed on time.
Might be going to bed on time and not burning ourselves out. And so it's really a good idea to always just give yourself breathing space to answer and say, let me circle back with you in 24 hours or tomorrow or by the end of the week. And then some of you out there, you need to ask an accountability partner. Like you need to say to someone, hey, I'm thinking about this. Maybe it's your parent, maybe it's your spouse or just a good friend, and be like, I'm feeling like this is something I should have to do. I don't know if I want to do it, or I do want to do it, but I'm not sure it's a good fit. Because good people in your life will ask you strong questions like, what's the outcome that you're looking for? What is this going to cost you? Maybe even a pro-con list. You and I have used that a lot.
Yeah. I would say also thinking about the fact that I don't think I have ever regretted having too much margin in my life. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's couch potatoes that have too much margin in their life. That's not what
teenagers
we're talking
sometimes
about.
Have too much margin.
But as an adult, I've never said, man, I've got too much margin in my life. However, many times I've said, I do not have enough margin in my life. Yeah. So the importance of saying no really can't be overstated. And I think just saying, you know what? I need to check my schedule. need to talk to my spouse. If you've got a spouse, I need to look at my schedule. That is a great way to deflect and also just take some time to think about it. Are you saying yes because you're going to be working in your gifting and you want to do this, or are you saying yes out of guilt? And then, you know, the kind of the phrasing that we've taught many people, we've been taught to use is to simply say, hey, like if you did check your schedule and you're getting back to them, hey, I just want to let you know, I did check my schedule. I do not have the ability, or I already have a commitment.
Yep.
And, or I don't have the capacity to help you out with that. And if it's something I want to do, I'm very, like, there's some things where I have no interest in being asked to do it again. But there are some things where I genuinely would like to, but I just currently don't have the capacity. And then when that's the case, I'll let them know, hey, thank you so much for thinking of me. I would love to be able to, like, it's one thing I don't do. I don't tell people, oh, thank you so much, ask me again in the future, unless I absolutely mean it. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make. Because if you tell them to ask you again, they will.
They will.
So don't do that unless you're serious about it. But if I do, then it's like, hey, I have a commitment. I won't be able to help you out this time around. But would you keep me in mind for the future? Like, I'll just leave
learning
it at that.
To say no graciously is something else that we learned, and it makes you feel comfortable that you're not trying to be a jerk, but you are. There's nothing. I think there's few feelings worse than committing to something you really don't want to or shouldn't be doing.
Yes.
And you're living with that regret, maybe going into it while you're doing the thing, and then sometimes even afterwards, because you're like, I didn't have the margin. So I would say that's where we're much more protective of our yes, because I want to go into it either like, I know it's a sacrifice, I don't really want to do it, but I feel called. I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to do it one time. Or like, I really want to do this and I'm going to find the space and figure it out. And the other thing is to think, we've kind of discussed it, but think seasonally. Sometimes there are things you definitely want to be doing or you should be doing, but is it the right season for you to do it? And I'll tell you, like, for an example, working in the nursery, I haven't said yes to that for years because we've been in this parenting cycle of having young kids at home. We're working towards teens, but we started all over again. And so, I'm probably at the season now where I'll be ready to hold babies again and work with littles in the nursery. But for a long time, even having an early childhood education degree, I was like, I don't want to be in there with kids that are the same age as my kids. I just didn't have the mental and emotional energy. I feel like it would have sucked whatever little tiny bit I had left. So for me, it's going back into maybe that season and saying, I'll volunteer now because there's moms who used to be where I was who need that break. But I didn't need to say yes in that season when it wasn't the right fit.
That's great. You want to talk about how important it is to recognize the season of life that you happen to be in at any given moment when making decisions and trying to figure out if you need to start saying no to certain things.
Well, I kind of covered that, I think, with just like how I felt about moving into like the nursery stage and helping out with that. I think also it's just like, to your point, looking at how much margin you have in your life, knowing that what is going to matter in 2 years and 3 years and 5 years. And for us, it's like faith, family, our business that we're very passionate about, and the people in our life. So if we're not sowing seeds into some of those things, it's going to always get our leftovers. And we're going to be very careful to protect those things that we value the most and decide where have we already given enough time and attention to, and where can we step in and do a little bit more. I'm also one to, we can give more financially sometimes, so we'll do that instead of time. And also, if I haven't volunteered in a certain area for a while, but I have, like, I may not go on an all-day field trip or a couple of day camp, but I might show up for an hour or 2 hours and do something of service at the school that is a better fit for my personal schedule.
Yeah. One of my mentors used to say, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but you'll always have more opportunities than you have the capacity to handle. And what we've also learned, as you become more successful, the demands on your time, the number of people who want your time or want you to help out will greatly increase, and you will not be able to make everyone happy. So it's really important.
I think one of the most consistent things that we've probably heard on leadership podcasts and training has been that highly successful, and again, successful doesn't necessarily mean financially or in status, but impact for us is success. Some of the most successful and excellent people out there say no to almost everything.
Yep.
They say no to almost everything. So for us, one of the ways we've prevented having to say no to absolutely everything is we also delegate a lot of things. And I know we've covered delegation in different podcasts, but the idea that if we're not supposed to be doing it and it needs to get done, do we have someone else in our sphere, in our with the people that we employ or that we, you know, partner with who might be able to either do it better or just take it off of our plate so we can work more in our zone of genius.
Oh, and to be able to bless someone who loves what they do. Yeah. Like just today I was having a conversation with the gentleman. His name is Lyndon. He's actually from Great Britain. He's here. Lyndon from London. There we go. Love it. He started a company that cleans solar panels, and there's a lot of solar panels here in Phoenix.
Shout out to Lyndon.
And he was here doing some bird proofing for us, because underneath the solar panels tends to collect a lot of birds and bird nests, and that's bad for the solar system. Mm-hmm. Or the solar system.
We care about the solar system. We're out here trying to help Saturn people.
Everything he does is stuff I could do.
Yeah.
But hiring him, and the guy loves it. He was telling me that, you know, he sold a bunch of his toys. He likes to race cars. So we were talking about tracking cars today, and he was just telling me that, you know, he sold all of his toys to start his business. And as his business is becoming more successful, he's slowly being able to buy some of the things that he sold.
Wow. What a practical example of what we're talking about.
But I was like, I'm really glad I'm delegating to him. Yeah. You know, I'm supporting his dreams while being able to live my dream, because I'm not spending time on the roof. So it was a great practical application. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, this was a fun, quick little episode just talking about the importance of understanding that you can't do it all and how to say no in a gracious way so that you don't come across like a jerk. And we just want to remind you all to stay tuned. First of all, subscribe, please. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you're following us. If you're listening to the podcast, whatever platform you're listening on, it does us a ton of good for you to actually subscribe and like, give a 5-star review, all that kind of stuff. Hopefully you're finding value if you're listening. I don't know why you would listen to something if you don't find value. And so support us in that. We're really excited. And next week we're going to continue this topic and discuss some specific strategies for making these types of decisions, and also the difference between saying no and giving up. Because a lot of times, giving up has a negative stigma, but there can be some very positive things.
It's going to be an exciting one. Absolutely. And don't forget to keep your eye out for the 7 Disciplines of Uncommon Freedom. Woo-hoo! Coming this fall.
Yeah.
We are in pre-launch season, and so we're definitely looking forward to that. Keep your eyes and ears open and be ready to spread the word and just really support this creative work that you've been working on. We're really excited about it.
Well, I can tell everyone that I was doing another edit of the book. I think it was it on Monday? It was like within the last week, I think.
I don't know.
Or maybe it was late last week, a week ago. But I'm so excited. Like, this is a book that I think is going to offer a ton of value to people. And even if I hadn't written the book myself, that I would absolutely read this book. I think just it's going to offer a lot of value. Quick read. You know, it's probably going to be under 200 pages, and it's just going to be like very similar to, not similar, but an easy read like The Compound Effect is. So keep your eyes out, friends.
If you like Kevin's sexy radio voice, he's also going to be doing the audiobook in his own personal voice, which is one of my favorites. It's always a little disappointing when an Absolutely. Author that you know and you know their voice.
And the great thing is, I have a face made for radio, so I'm going to be capitalizing on that.
No one thinks that. You're so handsome.
All right. Thanks for everybody.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Uncommon Freedom Show. We believe freedom isn't man's invention. It was created by God. If you are enjoying this show, please give us a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to us on. Then subscribe and share with friends and family that you think will enjoy the show. You can connect with us at beckandkev.com for more resources to learn biblical principles, essential disciplines, and the winning habits that help once average people lead the life they want instead of accepting the life they were given.